Welcome to Grand Central. Embark on a multi-generational journey of conversations filled with insight, encouragement, and wisdom. A special time set aside for grandparents. Here's your host, best-selling author, acclaimed speaker, and devoted grandfather, best known as Pop Pop, Tim Huff.
Well, just a week until Christmas, a week from today, and welcome to Grand Central. I am so honored. It's a real gift to me, but I think it's a gift to our listeners, too, to have Steve Bell one more time this year. This will be 5 shows in one season, man.
Don't worry, folks. You'll be done with me soon. Yeah.
Oh, it's quite the opposite. They'll be going next week. Really? It's just you? So that's what they're saying to me. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
I hope your Christmas coming up is fantastic. Years ago, I asked you to contribute a written piece to a Christmas book that I was writing called The Yuletide Factor. Because the subtitle is Cause for Perpetual Comfort and Joy, I asked you, Steve, to specifically write about comfort. And for the listeners to this show, of course, predominantly grandparents, or at least grandparents might have the greatest interest. Hope others are listening too. They're old enough and life experienced enough to have had to perhaps given a lot of comfort, and they might be at a stage where they kind of need to receive a fair bit of comfort as well, right? The entire heartbeat of your music and ministry has been built around a calling, comfort my people. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I was really glad you asked me to write that because I hadn't really thought about the word. I mean, we all, we think of comfort as being, you know, something that's sort of nice, like an ointment or something that brings you relief from pain or something, or that's comfortable, that's just kind of warm and fuzzy. So when you asked me to write that, I just went and looked up the etymology of the word, that like, where does the word come from? Just to see if there's anything to say from it. And right away, it's right there. So it's two words, calm, which is a prefix, which means with, right? And then fort, strength. So comfort means with strength. And when you're technically, when you're giving someone comfort, you're coming along with strength that's needed until they have their own. So think about a splint on a broken finger. The finger's going to repair, but it's going to need someone else's strength until it does. And so the splint isn't to take over it, to colonize the finger's work. It's just there to lend its strength until the finger is strong enough on its own. So when we bring comfort to somebody, we're not there now to dominate their lives, to control them, to manage outcomes. We're just there to offer our strength until they don't need it anymore. And that's a different way of thinking about the word. It's not just about being kind or having warm, fuzzy things to say, even though those are lovely and important, but that you have strength to offer. And sometimes you need someone else's strength. You need someone else to be that splint. But the goal is for the limb to function on its own.
Has the ways you've needed comfort in your life, how has it changed generationally? Like, when you were a kid, did you need a certain thing, like from your folks and your mom to hug you or this or that? And then, you know, in your 20s, I just need space. And then in your 30s,
oh, like, that's interesting.
Like,
yeah.
Has your comfort journey, like, what comforts you, like, when you're down or your heart's broken or something like that?
Well, I think when I was younger, it didn't take much. You just needed somebody to hug you or to be there or to encourage, you know, right, or to help you with, you know, a gift of money or something if you need something. Like, that's comfort. To give somebody a bit of money, that's technically, yeah, that could be called, yeah, comfort. You know, so it's kind of easy. I didn't have a lot of, like, my mom and both my parents had mental health issues, but they were lovers. I always knew I was loved. Right. So that was lovely. When I got into my later teens, you're now supposed to be, or say my early adulthood, and now you're like the husband, the dad, you got career, all that kind of stuff, and nobody really knows you and knows your interior, in your interiority and what you need. And that's when my faith started becoming really important. That's when reading deeply became important. I needed mentors at a much deeper level than just being helpful in that sense. I found that in the saints and some of the ancient books, the deepest writings. And so I found great comfort in the desert fathers and mothers from the 3rd and 4th and 5th centuries, those writings, you know, and then the scriptures and then Psalms. A lot of comfort from the Psalms, and it's hard to, and it's not, you don't go to the Psalms for, you know, didactic truth. You go for strength. You go for with strength for that, you know. So that became really important for me as I got older and my life got more complicated than I was ready for and didn't even know how to ask someone else. I didn't know how to articulate what I needed. And that's when I found some of this deeper tradition really, really important.
Yeah. And as a singer-songwriter, I mean, it's reflected in...
Yeah. Well, so much of my songs come from that. I mean, like, if you look at my catalog, these are, like, there are struggles behind each one of those songs. And I don't write the struggles into the songs. I write the prayer that sort of helped me through. And my songs aren't typically about my spirituality or about my faith. They are my spirituality. Yeah. They are my faith. It's how I pray.
Now, most of our listeners that are the listeners that are grandparents or grandfriends, they've already raised a generation. They've comforted the generation of their kids. Do you find it different, or how have you? Can you give comment to comforting your grandchildren?
Boy, yeah. I mean, just what have a comment? I think like anything else, and especially now. I mean, because kids are exposed to so much media, they don't necessarily know any details of climate change or political fracturedness or what that could mean. But boy, they pick it up. They feel the anxiety of that. They catch little bits of a newscast, Israel, Gaza, or whatever. And they're a lot of anxiety. I think right now, non-anxious presence is really important for kids. They need to have an adult around at least some of the time who is at peace. And I said it in an earlier one of these interviews that I can't remember who wrote it, but someone who said, if you find inner peace, thousands will around you as well, right? And so I think, I mean, there's lots of things advice we can get for good grandparenting, but I think curiosity is a huge thing, and just being a non-anxious presence. But that's hard work because, you know what? I'm anxious.
Right.
And I have good reason to be anxious.
So you come into the room with something in your head and in your heart, but when you get in there, you kind of, you're not fraudulent, but you need what you need. You need to be what you need to be in that moment, right?
Well, yeah, but this is why early morning prayer is so important. This is why, you know, doing your work, you know, in the evening, like, you know, thinking through your day and putting things to rest and making your amends so that you can be at peace, you know, when you wake up in the morning, to spend a little bit of a time in just sort of settling in the presence of God so that you can pick up from the non-anxiousness of God and then take that into your day. Right. And I think we often, especially as Christians in the Protestant tradition, we think of Bible study as like, I got to learn something. You know, I'm supposed to, like, a doctrine or a truth that I'm going to take out there. Like, how about just absorb the peace of God and then walk into the rest of the world? I just think these days, that's might be what kids need almost more than anything else.
Thank you for that. You mentioned the mental health journey for your folks, mom in particular. We're going to play a song. Do you want to set that song up
In the Bleak Midwinter. Yeah. This is Christina Rossetti, who was a poet, I think the 15th century. Beautiful, beautiful poet. And the music for this is by Gustav Holst. It's a gorgeous song. It's one of my mom's favorite Christmas songs. And my mom suffered hard from anxiety disorder and depression, was hospitalized a lot of her adult life. And I had to watch my mom suffer a lot. And this isn't a complaint. I adore my mom. I'd pick her out of a lineup any day. You know, she's great. So I'm not complaining about my mom, but I had a childhood of having to watch my mom suffer hard. And this was her favorite song. I always loved it because she loved it. It's gorgeous. There's an ache to it, and yet there's a beauty to it. And
it became her favorite song when she heard you perform it?
No, I performed it because it was her favorite song.
Oh,
I put it on a record for her. But then one day I'd come back from visiting with my mom, and she was going through a particularly tough time, and I thought I need something. So I went to my bookshelf and I picked up the Christina Rossetti, you know, collection of poems and read this poem that became the song. And then I thought, I know nothing about this woman. Who writes such a beautiful piece And so I read the biography, and she suffered from anxiety and depression.
That, right.
Yeah. I went, well, bingo. You know, that's why she can write this gorgeous, in the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, in the bleak winter long ago. And then she goes from this just desolation, this icy, cold desert, to the birth of Christ. And what can I give him? I got nothing. I'll give him what I am. I'll give him who I am. And what an extraordinary development in three stanzas. It's quite a shocking song if you know what's behind it.
Wow. That is so moving. I'm thinking of our listeners just listening, and particularly if they're listening live or close to the Christmas season, and a lot of our listeners might be,
yeah,
while there's joy going on all around them, they're not feeling the joy internally.
Yeah, but it's written in the poem here. What can I give him, poor as I am? You shouldn't be thinking material poverty in this. Like, people just feel like they literally, I got nothing. Yeah. You know, if I were a shepherd, I'd give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. I got none of that stuff. What I have, I do give him. I give him my heart.
Wow.
You have your heart. You have your heart to give.
Thanks, Steve. Hey, listeners, I'm going to let this, the emotion of this song, be our benediction today, and we're going to go straight to it. Here's the voice, the music of Steve Bell. I hope this sets you up for some tender times over this Christmas season and is a blessing to you.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow.
Thank you for joining us for Grand Central. Engaged and loving grandparents have proven over and over to be life-giving and life-changing in young lives throughout history. But the need for grandparents and all they have to offer has perhaps never been as great as it is today. The Grand Central goals are to inspire, honor, and help resource grandparents on their journey of goodness. If you're a grandparent or grandfriend and would like to share your experience or leave a thoughtful comment, please visit grand-central.ca. Tune in to Grand Central with Tim Huff every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Joy. Grand Central is a Youth Unlimited initiative.